Our subject this morning is entitled, The Foundation of All Grace. Now the scripture is Ephesians 4, verse 32, in which the Apostle Paul writes, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and quarreling and evil speaking be put away from among you, along with all malice. And be ye kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I want, first of all, to focus your attention on three words. For Christ's sake. You've heard people say that often, frequently. When I was in the Navy, I heard it quite often. Here are three words. For Christ's sake. Often, more than not, they are spoken in wrath and blasphemy. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. You've heard it so often. But my friend, never were three more precious, powerful, and meaningful words spoken by human lips. For Christ's sake. I don't care how a man speaks it. They're precious words. They're meaningful words. They're powerful words. For Christ's sake. These words are the foundation of the gospel. That's right. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the foundation of the gospel. Christ is the gospel. The gospel is concerning His Son and His Son's work and His Son's intercession, His Son's priestly work. For Christ's sake. That's the foundation of the gospel. And then those are the most important words in prayer. Prayer is nothing without Christ. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be done. We pray for Christ's sake. We'll have no answer on any other foundation or any other basis for Christ's sake. So these are the most important words in prayer. And then these words are the key to understanding the scripture. It's for Christ's sake. That's right. To Him give all the prophets witness. Our Lord said to the religious leaders of His day, you search the scriptures. In them you think you have life, they are they that testify of me. And He took His disciples back through the Old Testament, through Moses and the Psalms and the prophets and showed them how that these scriptures concerned Him and His death. They're for Christ's sake. And then these words bring healing. When Peter, James, and John stood at the gate and healed the man who had been lame from birth, they said, we don't have anything to give you. But in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, for Christ's sake. And that man rose up and walked. And these words are the passport to the throne of grace. Seeing that we have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's passed into the heavens, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. So there are no more precious, meaningful and powerful words that have ever fallen from human lips than these three words, for Christ's sake. If I were to die tonight, and there's a good possibility that I might, or certainly some of you who are older than I am, if we were to die tonight and stand before God, this very evening we stand before God and we hear God say, now listen, we hear God say, just tell me why that I should open the doors of heaven for you. That's a good question. Just tell me why that I should open the doors of heaven and admit you. Well, I'll tell you this. I would not plead my works. Some did in Matthew 7. They said, well, Lord, we have preached in your name and cast out devils and done many wonderful works. And He says, depart from me. I never knew you. That's not a reason for Almighty God receiving you into His kingdom, into His glory, to share His glory, to be a joint heir with His Son. Well, I wouldn't plead my righteousness because I know, like Isaiah, that even my righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. That the best I've ever done is not good enough. The best I've ever given falls short of the glory of God. God cannot accept anything but perfection. And I have no perfection. So even my righteousnesses are filthy rags. And at my best state, I'm altogether vanity. So I won't plead that. I wouldn't dare plead it. And then I'm certainly not going to plead my church membership, my baptism. People have had these things and perished. Well, what shall I say when God says, why should I open the doors of glory to you? Well, I believe these three words would be sufficient for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. I lay claim only to one thing. Christ died for my sins. And I believe that will open the gates of heaven. He loved me and gave himself for me. And you take away this foundation. You take away this foundation and the whole house of hope comes tumbling down. Because clearly the Word of God teaches that all that God has for sinners and all that God Almighty does for sinners and all that God Almighty gives to sinners is for Christ's sake. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything's in those four things. Everything I need is in those four things. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And all of it is in Christ. All that God has for me, does for me, and gives to me is in Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything is in Christ. All the fullness of God. All the riches of God. All the glory of God. All the mercy of God. All the fullness of God is in Christ. He's the fountain of mercy. He's the source of all grace. And you're complete in him. For Christ's sake. I want us to look at three things together in this message. First of all, and I'm going to divide this message into these three parts. I hope you can remember them. I'll remind you of them as we go along. But number one, for Christ's sake. That's what this is all about. I'm saying the foundation of all grace is found in these three words, for Christ's sake. Now, for Christ's sake is the reason for mercy on the part of God. For Christ's sake is the motive for service on the part of the believer. And for Christ's sake is the foundation of all divine grace, and it's also the foundation for all human love. Want to listen to that a little while? Are you interested? Well, listen if you will. First of all, the reason for God's grace and God's mercy to sinners, to the chief of sinners, the reason is not found in us. It's found in Christ. It certainly is. It's found in Christ. For Christ's sake, even, listen to the text again, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Why? Why was the Father moved to choose a people to begin with? And he did. There's no question about that. He chose us. It says that all the way through the Scriptures. He chose us. Why was God moved to choose a people in the first place? Why was God Almighty why was he pleased to make a covenant of grace in the first place? There is a covenant of grace, an eternal, everlasting covenant of grace. David talked about, the last words David spoke were these, although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And the blood of Christ is the blood of an everlasting covenant. And he's the surety of an everlasting covenant. Now, why was God moved to make a covenant, an everlasting covenant to start with? Covenant of grace. Why was the Father moved to send his Son into this world? Why was the Father moved to accept sinners as holy and redeemed and forgiven? Why? Well, I think the answer is found in these three words, for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. When we do something special for the sake of another, there's got to be reasons, and I'm going to give you some of those reasons. First of all, God shows mercy for Christ's sake. That's established. That's the reason for his mercy. Well, why? Well, first of all, because of the glory of his person. The glory of his person. Because of who he is. My friends, over 2 million people followed Moses out of the land of Egypt and across a desert because of the greatness and excellence of his character and of his person. Thousands of men followed David into exile, fleeing from his son Absalom, out there to suffer in mountain caves and and live on scarce rations because of the excellence and glory of the person of David. 300 gallant men followed Gideon against overwhelming odds because of the excellence and glory of his person. There was something special about these men, something great about these men. But how then shall we describe the glory and excellence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who far outshines all men and all angels and all creatures put together? The Father shows mercy for Christ's sake because of the glory of his person, the excellence of his person. Isaiah speaks of that glory when he says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Father hath exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, that in all things he might have preeminence. So God shows mercy to sinners for Christ's sake because of who he is, the excellence and greatness of his name. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is so great. His name brings forth all that heaven has just by calling on his name. Then secondly, God shows mercy for Christ's sake because of his relationship to the Father. The Father kept saying to the people of this world, "This is my Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my Son. Hear ye him." God will show mercy for Christ's sake because of the excellence of his person and because of the relationship that he bears with the Father. He's God's well-beloved, only begotten Son. His Son. My wife and I had a son killed in the war in Vietnam 12 years ago, 1969. Suppose the following months or year, I was sitting in the den at my home and the doorbell rang. And I went to the door and opened it, and there stood a young man in a soldier's uniform. And he would say, "You, Mr. Mahan?" "Yes, sir." "Did you have a son named Robert?" "Yes, sir." "Killed in the war?" "Yes, sir." "Well," he said, "I was his best friend. I was with him when he was killed. And I talked with him before he died. And he said, if you're ever in Ashland, Kentucky, look up my father. If you ever have any need, I know he'll help you if you just tell him that you were my friend." Well, I tell you, my home would belong to that boy. Anything I had would be given to him. Now here, the Lord Jesus Christ, God shows mercy to me. I may not even know that young man. I may not have ever seen him before. But that the very name of my son would open the door to my heart, my home, and my possessions to him. Well, the name of God's only begotten Son opens all of God's heart and God's home and God's possession to those who come in the name of Christ. Now, that's right, to relate for Christ's sake. That's the reason for mercy, for Christ's sake. God does it for Christ's sake. That's the name. That's the name which is above every name. That's the name upon whom which you call and God hears. That's the name. Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. And Christ stood still. Christ stood still. God shows mercy for Christ's sake because of the greatness of his work. Not only because of the excellence of his name. Not only because of the relationship which he bears with the Father. But because of the greatness of his work. What did he do? What hath he done? What hath he done? What hath he done, you ask? Jesus Christ came down here to this earth. He condescended to become a man, to take upon himself, upon his glory, upon his person, the likeness of my flesh. He was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God became a man. I don't understand that. I just know it's so. How can God become a man? Well, how can God create a world out of nothing? How can God speak and the sun shine? How can God speak and the planets move in their given orbit? How can God speak and the water and dry land separate? How can God speak and a man receive life out of dust? How can God speak and a woman be made from a rib? How can God anything? Because he's God. And God became a man. And in the flesh, as a man, he met and obeyed every jot and tittle of God's righteous, holy law. Boy, you say that law is too much for me. It's been too much for any man. But it's not too much for Christ. Christ in the flesh, as a man, obeyed every jot and tittle of God's holy law. The law of the home, the law of the city, the law of the nation, the Levitical law, the ceremonial law, the moral law, and every other law. And not only that, but he was numbered with the transgressors and poured out his soul unto death, and in his death satisfied God's justice for every believer of every generation and every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue unto heaven. He paid it all the debt we owed. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. This brings me back to my first point. You say, how can one man die for millions? Because of who he is. Because he's the Father's beloved Son. He's the great and excellent Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God. That's the reason his work's effectual. That's the reason his work's sufficient. That's the reason his work is plentiful. That's the reason his grace is so completely abundant, is because of who he is. And he did it perfectly. He obeyed the law. He satisfied God's justice. He was buried and rose again. As the surety of God's everlasting covenant, he fulfilled all requirements in one life and one death that all of the sons of Adam could not satisfy and could not meet in billions of lives and billions of deaths and billions of years in eternal misery because of who he is. Can you get hold of that? He's not sweet little Jesus boy either. He's not the superstar. That always amazed me that men will call their lodge brother's most worshipful master and their God the man upstairs. That's blasphemy. They'll call their lodge brother's most high and lifted up potentate. You've heard all that junk. The most worshipful potentate. And then they'll talk about Jesus the superstar. Or somebody up there likes me, or the old man upstairs, or the good Lord. That's blasphemy. You got more respect for human flesh than you have God Almighty. And that's the reason you don't know God, nor his Son. When you come to know him, you bow before him, you worship him, you fear him, you stand in awe and reverence of him, you carry his name carefully on your lips and on your heart. O Lord God of heaven, be merciful to us poor sinners. The name which is above every name, the greatness and worthiness. He arose victorious, and he ascended to the Father's right hand, where he intercedes for all believers. And throughout heaven's years, eons of eternity, they're going to sing unto him, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own precious blood. Unto him be honor and glory both now and forever. God shows mercy for Christ's sake because of the worthiness, the excellence of his name, the relationship with the Father, and because of the greatness of his work he had completed. He cried on that cross, "It is finished. It is finished." All that's required of all believers of all ages is finished. All that the holy, matchless, pure law of God demands of men is finished. All that the justice of God requires at the hands of evil men is finished. All that God Almighty's holiness and righteousness and justice demands of all who would enter glory by faith is finished. Finished. Not on an installment plan. He didn't make a down payment. He finished it. He finished it. And then God shows mercy for Christ's sake because of the eternal promises made to him. God keeps his word. God is faithful. He cannot lie. When he promises his son something, he gives it. He gives it. He said, "Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance." Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. There is an everlasting covenant of grace. Call it what you will. Call it what you will. But the Father gave the Son a people. The eternal, everlasting covenant of grace made between Father and Son and Holy Spirit, in which the Father gave to the Son a people. That's all the way through the Bible. Read John 17. This is the great priestly prayer of Christ, John 17. The beginning of it is, Christ lifted his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given me authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And six times in these verses, in John 17, our Lord identifies those people with these words, those whom the Father hath given me. Those whom the Father hath given me. And then in John 6:37, he says, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me, and this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me I'll lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. For Christ's sake, his blood is the blood of that everlasting covenant. He is the surety of that everlasting covenant. So the Father shows mercy for Christ's sake. He shows mercy to sinners for Christ's sake because of the excellence of his name, the glory of his person, because of the relationship which he bears to the Father. He's the Son. And because of the greatness and worthiness of his work, he's accomplished all that was required. He hath paid the price. And because of the promises which the Father has made to him, which shall not fail, he will keep his promise. He'll keep his promise. Now listen to me. I know we've got a song, He'll Keep His Promise to Me. That's right. But indirectly, his promise was made first to Christ and to you in Christ. That's right now. All of God's mercy is in Christ. His grace is in Christ. His love is in Christ. His promise is to Christ. And the promise is to you because of his promise to Christ. He's going to keep his promise to his Son. Now, for Christ's sake, let's go back to those three words again. I said it's the foundation of all grace. Secondly, for Christ's sake, ought to be, and I believe will be, our motive for all that we do in God's kingdom and for his glory. Now, we're not to be motivated by covetousness for money and covetousness for fame and recognition and for possessions. I tell you, reward is a mighty sorry motive for service. A mighty sorry motive. Wages are a sorry motive for service. Love is a much better motive. And for Christ's sake, ought to be my motive. Now, you know, I was thinking the other day, it's astounding. Astounding what men have been impressed to do for different reasons. For example, for discovery's sake. I just think what men have done for discovery's sake. They have climbed in old wooden ships with cloth sails, and they have sailed uncharted seas, not knowing what was ahead. They fought disease, loneliness, pagans, wild jungles to found a new world or to find a new land. What have men done for country's sake? They've gone to war. They've separated themselves from their families. They have suffered, bled, and died to preserve a government, a constitution, or a way of life. That's for country's sake. What have men done for science's sake? They have given their lives. They've studied. They've burned the midnight oil. They've given their time, their wealth, their health to discover cures and causes of diseases. They've even injected themselves with diseases to see how it works on their own flesh. Now, that's astounding what men will do for science's sake. For false religion's sake, for false religion, men have thrown their children into the fires. They have sacrificed young virgins to heathen gods. They've punished their bodies. They've cut their flesh. They've lived in caves and dens as hermits. And then I ask this question, what are we willing to do and to give for Christ's sake? For Christ's sake. Listen to this scripture. Or this song, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present, far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What am I willing to give? What am I willing to suffer? What am I willing to endure for Christ's sake? I read of a missionary, Moravian missionary, who sold himself into slavery so that he could preach to the slaves. Well, he said, why would a man do that for Christ's sake? Out of a deep love for Jesus Christ. I read about some missionaries, Moravian missionaries, who had themselves confined to leper colonies so that they could preach to the lepers. You say, well, I don't understand that. I know we don't understand that. We've got this health and wealth religion. We've got this cash and carry religion. We've got this you give 10% and God will bless you. We've got this walk down now and shake the hand and kiss God goodbye and see him in glory religion. We've got everything in the world but the right true religion. And that's a vital, living, personal union with Christ, born of love for Christ, that motivates and constrains us to serve him and to glorify him. Missionaries with no weapon but the Bible have landed among cannibals and heathens and barbarians with no hope of gain except to make Christ known. They've buried their wives and their children. They've passed through the furnace of suffering and poverty just to make Christ known. You say, why would a man do that? For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Now that's the motive and should be the model of my behavior toward others. That's what he's saying in our text. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, you be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I have two messages on this cassette tape. This is a small cassette tape that we prepare with these messages. The one I preached last Sunday is the heart of true religion. And this message, of course, is the foundation of all grace. Both messages on one tape. If you want the tape, write, we'll send it to you. The cost is $2. You join us next Sunday at this same time over this station. Until then, God bless you, everyone.